The Monkey King, read by Peter J. Matthews. The following day, the Monkey King rose early.
"Make me a dry pinewood raft, little monkeys, and fetch me a bamboo pole and some fruit for the journey."
When all was ready, he hopped onto the raft and, pushing off with all his might, set off across the ocean. He was in luck, for a strong southeasterly wind blew him directly to the northwest coast of the southern continent. When his bamboo pole told him he was in shallow water, he abandoned the raft for the shoreline, where he encountered humans hunting for fish, wild geese, and clams, and dredging salt. He ran at them, making strange faces, and they dropped their baskets and nets and scattered in terror. The Monkey King grabbed the slowest of them and stripped him of his clothes. After dressing in them, Monkey made a tour of the continent's towns and cities, studying human manners and speech. 8 or 9 years passed. Monkey remained determined to seek the formula for eternal life, while the humans who surrounded him sought only money and fame, without a thought for their own mortality. No one cared what became of him. Eventually, Monkey came to the Western Ocean. Still in search of immortals, he built himself another raft and floated across to the western continent. In time, he approached a beautiful, jagged mountain, thickly forested at its base and luxuriant with flowers, grasses, mosses, bamboo and pines, an ideal hermit's refuge. Unconcerned about the danger of wolves, snakes, tigers or leopards, Monkey climbed up to look around. When he reached the top, he suddenly heard a human voice singing deep within a copse of trees.
"I sleep till dawn, then wander the wood, cutting creepers for my livelihood. When I've gathered as much as I can hold, I stroll singing through the market till it's sold. I trade my load for wine and rice, and never haggle over the price. Living without ambition or conceit, only immortals and Taoists will I meet."
"At last!" the Monkey King rejoiced to himself.
Skipping through the forest, he came face to face with a woodcutter busy at work, dressed in a large conical hat made of young bamboo, a cotton gauze tunic with a silk sash, and straw sandals.
"Salutations, immortal!"
Monkey hailed him. The flustered woodcutter dropped his axe.
"Hush! I am a poor ignorant man, unable even to feed or clothe myself."
"Why then do you sing about immortals?"
Monkey asked him.
The woodcutter laughed. "Oh, that! A neighbour of mine, an immortal as it happens, taught the song to me to cheer me up when life was getting me down. A moment ago I started worrying about something, so I sang it. I didn't know anyone was listening."
"Why don't you become his disciple? You could learn the secret of eternal life."
"I've not had an easy life," the woodcutter explained. "My father died when I was 7 or 8. I'm an only child and have been my mother's sole support ever since. And now that she's getting old, she needs me all the more. All we have is the rice and tea I get in exchange for my firewood. I can't abandon her for a religious life."
"Well, I'm sure you will be rewarded in later life for your filial devotion. In the meantime, though, could you point the way to the immortal's house so that I can pay him a visit?"
"It's not far. This is Heart and Soul Mountain. About 7 or 8 miles to the south, you'll come to the Cave of the Tilted Moon and Three Stars, the home of an immortal called Subodhi, who has trained many disciples and currently has 30 or 40 studying under him."
Monkey tugged at the woodcutter.
"Come with me, you won't regret it."
"Did you not listen to anything I said just now?" he answered, exasperated. "I've wood to chop. On your way now!"